Welcome to the World Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Joanna Hayes, and I'm thrilled to welcome four very special guests today. Spanning four generations of world records, world and Olympic gold medals over 110 meter hurdles, I have with me Ronaldo Nehemiah, Alan Johnson, Aries Merritt, and Grant Holloway. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Hello, hello.
Thank you.
I would like to start with Ronaldo Skeets Nehemiah. You are the eldest member of the crew today.
Says who? Says who?
And so, I mean, there's no actual proof, right? There's no actual proof. But what I wanted to ask you is, of all the years that you competed and then you've watched the sport and seen all the differences, what has the event and the sport overall, how's that changed?
I think for the most part, today's athletes come in with the mindset that they can run fast or as fast as we were running or I ran. During my era, that elusive 13 flat sub 13 wasn't even a thought. And today I think because of the likes of Alan Johnson and Aries and Grant now, more people are believing that it's achievable. And so I love that. And especially from a patriotic standpoint, I grew up with the U.S. dominating the hurdles for years. And then we had, you know, some Cubans come in, the Brits and different nationalities come in and taking it away from us for a little bit and kind of lost our way. And then I think the pride of the event and, you know, with Alan Johnson coming up behind me and taking over for multiple world championships and Olympic gold medalists and leading the way for an Aries to come behind him. And then now Grant, who is just scratching the surface of his ability. It's a proud arrogance, if you will, because, you know, I learned from Rod Milburn. And we had a proud arrogance to represent the event and be the best in the world. And so that's, at least personally speaking, that's what I've always thought, that we were the best in the world. And so I'm glad that we're the world record holder and we have the number one hurdler in the world from America.
Alan, how about you? You're just about a decade behind, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Now you two did race each other.
Happy 5-0, by the way.
Yes, happy 5-0. Belated birthday.
Happy birthday, big dog. Happy birthday to the goat.
Hey, you are half a century old. I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
Yeah. Petty.
No, but yeah, Ronaldo and I raced. I believe it was in 1993. We raced twice.
You were not born. That's correct.
I was not born. I wasn't even a thought. I don't even think I was even considered.
So it was, I think it was U.S. championships, and then there was a meet after that in Indianapolis that we raced.
We were going in different directions at that point.
One coming in, one going out.
Yeah, literally.
I feel like that's how it always is, though. Someone is going out and someone's coming in. It's just the era of the sport, especially as an American hurdler.
Yeah, that's true. So I remember 10th grade. I grew up in Fairfax, Virginia. So they had the mobile meet in Fairfax, and I had a seat in the front row at the first hurdle. I guess this was 1987. So you were there running. I can't remember who all was in the race, but I remember you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was neat. But how has it changed? I mean, it's, I came up watching Ronaldo and Greg Foster, Roger Kingdom. And like Ronaldo said, it was just understood, okay, if the Americans are going to dominate the hurdles, so if you want to be the top U.S. guy, be ready to be the top guy in the world. And during my time is when you started, you know, the Cubans, Enio Garcia came up. He was an Olympic champion, ranked number one in the world. And then towards the end of my career, you know, Liu Shang came up and he broke the world record, was Olympic champion, world champion. So I think during my time, you just saw more hurdlers in the world devoting themselves to the event as we had as Americans and excelling. And I think it changed it a little bit. I mean, it changed the dynamics. It made it a more, slightly more worldly event and not just Americans dominated.
Aries, you came up. So now, Aries, you've raced Allen, correct?
I have.
And that was, is that kind of the same thing, right? On Allen's way out, your way in, you were a youngster.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing,
yeah. What was that like? I mean, as you know who he was. It wasn't a surprise. And you know that the decorations he wears and you know all these titles.
Yep.
And what was it like jumping in those blocks as a young, what, 20 year old or so, racing this guy?
Yeah, I was 20. It was like a dream come true, to be honest. But I was like, I looked up to Allen from 1996. The Olympics were in Atlanta, and I grew up watching him run the hurdles there, and I had no idea I would even run hurdles. I just saw his race, and I remember him winning. And I told my mom, hey, I want to do that, and she was like, okay. She just laughed it off. And then many years down the line, I'm doing hurdles, and you know, I'm racing against Allen. And, you know, I never beat him. I don't even remember beating this guy, like, ever, to be honest.
No, you beat me.
Did I?
No, yeah,
I don't
remember.
It was like that. You were like, don't look back. I got you. Don't look back.
No, he definitely beat me good.
In the era where I ran against Allen, you know, there was a new guy. There were several guys that were running really well. The Cubans were still running fast. We had Dairon running well. We had Liu Xiang running just extraordinary. And that man was almost, he just seemed unbeatable, like, because he was just so perfect. And I studied this man's race. I studied Allen's race. I actually learned from Ronaldo growing up in high school, or coming up in college. I studied his film and his trail leg mechanics. And that's pretty much how my technique was born, from studying Ronaldo's lower body mechanics. And my upper body mechanics is obviously something that's a bit unorthodox. And then after I did what I did, you see a lot more of the arm swing, which is something that we don't teach. That's something that you don't want to teach, but you know, a lot of kids, they see me doing something, or they see someone who's done really well do something, and then they emulate.
That's kind of how it goes, right?
Yeah.
You see somebody else do it, you want to try it. And I think I've had that conversation with your coach before. That's just who you are. You don't want to take it away from you because that's who you are, but it's not something that would be technically sound, if you will, right? That works for Aries Merritt, not everyone else always. Now, you and Grant, now, one thing there's been a change over the years of that from eight steps to seven steps. You seven steps, right? Both of you guys. When you made now, did both of you start at eight and make the switch to seven, or has it been always for you, Grant, a seven-step thing, or when did that switch happen for you, Aries, and then for Grant?
For me, it happened after 2011. I would remember being in Daegu, and I was racing against Liu Zhang, Dairon, Jason Richardson, I mean, David Oliver. The fields were stacked. I mean, the hurdles are always stacked. Let's get that clear. The hurdles are always stacked. We always run against each other. There's no ducking and dodging in the hurdles. If you want to run fast, you run against the best people. And I remember being in Daegu, and in the final, I literally had to come to a stop because I was running into the barrier with eight steps, and I was chopping to do so. And that's when I had that come to Jesus moment, like, hey, these guys are taking seven. There has to be a reason. Like, I shouldn't have to break going into one. I need to figure this out. And I end up just running terribly. I was trying to, like, sprint and not run right in between the hurdles. And I'd run, like, 13:10 that year. And I was trying to, like, I could have medaled. And there was a lot of stuff that went on in that race that was bad for, you know, the top guys. Like, Liu Zhang got hit by Dairon. It was just a mess of a race. And, you know, Jason got up in there and got that gold. And then I had that realization, like, hey, Jason is someone that, you know, like, I ran against in college. He's someone that, you know, like, I've beaten before. Why is he having great success with seven steps and I'm not? And so we went back to the drawing board, and we really just started exploring the seven-step approach. And it was awful. At first, it was really bad. And then we just something clicked. I remember running seven steps, like, the year prior. I think I ran 746 in the 60-meter hurdles indoor with 8 steps. And the next year, I opened up my season with like 780 with 7 steps. And I'm like, man, this is a struggle. We need to figure something out. My coach was like, no, we need to stay the course. We need to, you know, you have to commit to something. And it was something I struggled with. And we finally, we got it done. Every race after that was like 760, then 750, then 740, and went on to win world indoor title. And I ended up beating Liu Zhang there for the first time in my career. And I was just confused as to how I was so new at this approach. And then I beat Liu. And I only knew that the race would get better for me moving to outdoors because I'm a finisher. And I know Liu Zhang is also a finisher, so I just was always afraid of this man. I was always afraid that this man was going to, like, do something just dangerous because, you know, he's just so poised and he always executes at the best of his ability when the stakes are at their highest. And that's when I knew that I was onto something here with the 7-step approach.
And Grant, to you with the so now you went from 8 to 7, obviously, probably at a much younger age.
Yeah, correct. So not to make everybody feel old, but
and it's too late. Too late.
Year,
too late.
My last year in high school was 2016. In 2016, I was taking 8 steps to the first hurdle. It was a decent high school career. Committed to University of Florida, got under the wing of Mike Holloway. Right when I got on campus, I told him, you know, Aries had just, like, for example, I have watched all these people's films, and Aries had just went crazy in 2012. The 7-step approach was big. So when I got to campus, I told Holloway I wanted to do the 7-step, and like Aries said, it was a struggle. I think my first meet opened up at 763, and then I went to 7.8 like twice, and then back down to 7.6 to 7.5 to 7.4, and then throughout the years now I'm at 729. But it was a struggle only because it was
like just, that's no big deal.
We're all hurdlers here.
I mean, I'm just a world record holder at 729. You know, that's where I'm at. Let's keep talking.
It was a struggle, Mom. Only because it was just like Erie said. It takes time. It just takes consistency. And I've had the privilege to run against Aries, and I had the privilege to ask Aries to watch some of my film. I've had the privilege to reach out to Aries for multiple reasons, and he's been there as a mentor. Same with Ronaldo and Allen Johnson. And I have the privilege to watch all these guys when they were all at their primes. And like Ronaldo said, I'm only scratching the surface. So for me, my 7-step approach came very, very early, and I've been sticking with it ever since.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've had some opportunity to watch some of your film directly. I study you. So as a coach, I'm studying all you guys as well. So it's amazing. And speaking of coaching, Allen Johnson, you have made the transition from being an Olympic gold medalist, professional world dominating hurdler to coach. And how is that for you? How's that going? What's the difference in being the athlete on the track and being the coach that's coaching the athlete on the track?
There's a huge difference, because when you're the athlete, you get to do it. And as the coach, you want to just tell the athlete, hey, look, do it this way. It's not hard. But it is actually, you know, it's very difficult. It takes years and years of practice. So that's probably the most challenging part, going from being an athlete to being a coach. And then also with coaching, you have all these different personalities and people who learn differently, and trying to figure out how to reach each individual athlete in their own way, while at the same time me not becoming, you know, 15 different people. So riding that line of having a message that I can tell everybody and everybody understands, while then at the same time having little nuances when I'm talking to each individual athlete that helps them understand better. But yeah. And then also the recruiting process. I mean, I remember back in 2015, 2016, I was a college coach, and I was going after young talent and there were a couple guys in the state of Virginia that I was stalking. Grant was one of those guys. Every time he ran a meet, I was there.
I definitely remember that. I definitely do.
That full circle moments. Now, so Ronaldo, you know, because you guys are obviously you're not competing anymore as well as Alan, and you are on still involved in athletics, but now you're on the other side as an agent. How is that dealing with different personalities and putting them in meets and knowing the right meets, wrong meets, the right fees, all the different things? How do you balance that? And how is your how has being an athlete help you with that?
So it's a tough balance for me because when I was running, the sport was amateur, and it's full-fledged professional now. So, you know, we grew up through patriotism and love of sport and each other. When we travel, we're representing our country, you know, and so that's what it was all about. Today, happily so, the athletes can earn a living from it, and that's all well and good, but, you know, I try to manage them on how to be a professional athlete, and that's a challenge because that means different things to different people. For the immature athlete, it just means money. And for the guy or gal who will listen to me, then they understand that this is their job. It just happens to be entertainment, but this is their job, and they have to be committed to it. They have to love it, because if you don't love it, you won't sustain a career. And then, you know, just trying to let them recognize that they have to be performing at a consistent level in order to have a career. And one time doesn't make it, you know, as far as, you know, you can be up today and down tomorrow. Social media is a great distraction, which we didn't have when I was growing up. So I'm still learning about social media and how to deal with that. It can be good and can be your worst nightmare, especially depending on who you are. If you get to the top, then social media has to be something that has to be screened, and you know, you have to watch over things because your sponsors are watching what you're posting or reposting, and that's a whole different world now that young people communicate in and the world itself communicates in. So I'm enjoying it for the most part. You know, I never say there's really a bad day. There are tough days and challenging times. I think my greatest asset is because I was a former athlete, I can feel what they feel when they win and when they lose. And so I can relate to that. And so I'm trying to get them to recognize that I'm on their side. But my job is to manage their career. And so that means put them in the best position to be successful, tell them hard truths. I had the good fortune of representing Alan Johnson. And so, you know, Alan was an insightful and mature athlete. So that made it a lot easier. You know, I mean, it's at a different level. But it's, you know, my whole thing is just to make sure that they're representing their best self. And it's not so much how fast you run. It really isn't. It's that if you're enjoying the process and you're learning through the process. And so, It's wonderful to see so many athletes rising to the top. But then I play shrink too, you know. When they have bad days, you know, I have to find the words to pick them up. I want to see them win. I hurt when they lose as well. So, you know, I have to wear all those hats. I have also personalities that some people, for instance, I'll give you a short example. At one point, and Alan knows this, I represented Alan Johnson, Terrence Trammell, Mark Carrier, and Dominique Arnold, right? So I had them all, and how I got them all, they said, well, you know, from some of them, it's like, well, we got to run against each other anyway, so it doesn't really matter who our agent is. We're going to be at the same meet, so fine. But I was in a meet in particular, and this one hurdler who's not on this podcast came up to me and said, so when you say good luck to me, do you go over to Alan and go, good luck? You know, one of those things. And I said, are you serious? And they wanted to see if I had a favorite. You know, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, is this person for real? And this was a medalist, a multi-medalist. And they're like, you know, so do you say good luck to him and only good luck to me? And I'm like, wow, I never even considered that. Or some people want you in their space when they're warming up because they just want to know that they have that extra support. And some people don't want you anywhere around because you make them more nervous about what's going on. So you got to, you know, I've gone over to people in the warm-up area and they've been a cold shoulder to me because they're in their zone. So I had to realize it wasn't personal. That's just them. And then some people need you to kind of literally hold their hand, you know, through the process. So you're wearing a variety of hats because I didn't grow up that way. I didn't have coaches traveling with me to Europe. You know, I was there by myself and I had to figure it out. So that in and of itself, it's a different world and I've had to adjust. That's all. I just can't always show my age and go, you know, suck it up and get it done or, you know. You know, or someone doesn't want to run against somebody this week, you know, because they're worried about their ranking. I'm like, dude, we didn't have that choice. We couldn't wait to run against you. You beat me this week. Well, let's run next week and see if you can get lucky because you got lucky this week. And but, you know, different. But I'm dealing with different agents, some of which have never been an athlete. So they're protecting rankings and all that. And I'm always saying cream rises to the top. It doesn't matter. Cream rises to the top. So, but it's a great experience. I'm just, you know, I have a front row seat and I see a lot of, you know, greatness in front of me, which I'm just happy that our sport continues to evolve.
Yeah, I think coaches and agents have that kind of that dual role at the track meets. Depends on who wants to talk to who doesn't. They may not want to see their coach, but they want to see their agent or vice versa. And some people don't want to see anybody at all. Like you said, get out of my space, get out of my face. So I have a question for all four of you guys. Should be a fun one. Everyone here in their own rights is fantastic, great, phenomenal, right? You guys have obviously done all of it, really. So, and I got two current world record holders, Grant in the 60 hurdles and Aries in the 110s outdoor. If you could steal, and for Ronaldo and Allen, so if you go back into your competition days, if you could steal one thing from each person on this panel, what would you steal? Now that can be physically, mentally, technically, speed, whatever, but one thing from each person. And we're going to start with Grant since he's the baby on this call.
Oh, perfect. Yes. If I could chop off some of my kneecaps and get myself a little bit smaller, maybe solid, like a solid, like 5'10", 6 foot. Oh, I think it'll be over. Everybody knows Allen. It didn't matter where the hurdle was, how the hurdle looked. Allen's going to go straight through it and he's going to keep sprinting. It doesn't matter where it's at. That's one thing I always admired about Allen. He was able just to sprint through the hurdles. He was able just to, you know, once he gets to top speed, he can just keep it all the way through. I'm not shaming or shunning nobody, but if I was able to just chop off a little bit of my height so I could just sprint through the hurdles like Allen, I think the world would be a scary place for me.
Oh, but and what about Aries and Ronaldo? One of each.
Definitely the height. If one thing that I'm able to take away from Aries is definitely, I think he knows exactly what I'm gonna say. It's gonna be a shuffle step in between the hurdles. He's the best. I have seen nobody done it. I'm trying to master it, and I'm still struggling to this day. But Aries in between the hurdles is just phenomenal. And then for last but not least, Ronaldo. I would just take his mindset. Someone who can do dual sports at the highest levels. That's a bad man right there. I was only able to do it on the high school level, and I had a chance to do it on the college level, but I gave it up just to run track. But you know, for him to do it both in the NFL and USA track and field and being an Olympian and all that good stuff, I think that will be, you know, a recipe for disaster.
Agreed. Yes, Aries. What about you?
For me, if I had Grant's beginning, I'd run 1260. Period. His beginning is disgusting. Granted, when I broke the world record, I was like 731 through 60, but still, like, it's just the sheer rawness of his beginning is just masterful. And if I had that with my finish and my prime, it would have been just nasty. For Allen, I would say his tenacity. He's just so good at high stakes. Like, when the stakes are at their highest, he's there to win. Like, I remember watching him at the World Cup. He got the start of his life and just beat Liu Zhang. And Liu Zhang was trying to run him down, and he couldn't do it. Allen was like, not today. So, I mean, I'll never forget that day. I was like, man, this man is still kicking butt. He 34 years old. I don't even know if you were 35 at that point. I mean, you were just smoking still. Still running sub 13. It was pretty phenomenal. And if I could do anything, if I could take something from Ronaldo, it would just be Ronaldo's poise. He just always seems so poised. Everywhere he goes, he just has this stature about him. And if I had that with all that combined, it'd just be scary.
Alan, what about you?
Well, for me, I'll start with Ronaldo. If I could go back, well, I'll say this. The thing about Ronaldo is that he was able to completely change the hurdle event. If I'm not mistaken, when you started, the world record was, 13:24?
Right, correct.
When you first...
Right.
And to take the world record from 13:24 all the way to 12:93. I mean, that's just complete. That's otherworldly, and that's what you call a game changer. I mean, he completely changed the face of the event and what good is. I mean, Aries has run. He ran way under the world record also, but I think that what Ronaldo did is something that it was incredible, and that's something that I wish I could have – that's what I would take from him. From Aries, like Grant said, those steps in between. I mean, I remember one time being in Berlin warming up, and I heard something behind me, and it just was – and I was like, what was that? And I turned around and I saw him. And I said, no, there's no way that he took three steps that fast. And he had on the squishy pants. And I looked. Because we were about to race. And I'm like, he's not that good. No way.
Is that the one he beat you in? Is that the race, Alan?
Yes.
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 It was coming. You knew it was coming.
I mean, and it was – it was amazing. Amazing. And then Grant, like I say, when you were in high school, me being a college coach, I was stalking you. I'll never forget, I think it was your senior year state meet. And it was a long jump. I think it was a guy named Quincy Watts that just...
Oh, it was my junior year, 2015,
yeah. And I think he went past your PR. And then I was walking by the runway. You were up. You came down. I heard you hit the board and go, and landed in the sand. And it was like maybe 25'8", 26 feet or something like that.
There you go, 25'8", yes, sir.
And I was like, this guy does not care what's going on. He's winning. No matter. And then watching you in college, the same thing, watching you in NCAAs, and it's like you ran the 60, you ran the hurdles, and it was just watching you, it's almost like if they're going to run 2 seconds, you're going to run 199. So just having that ability to just always, no matter what, step up and win.
Ronaldo, what about you?
So I'm going to go in oldest to youngest order. Since I'm oldest, I got to start with Alan Johnson. And so of the remaining crew, that is. So to me, watching Alan, and obviously I had a front row seat as his agent, his fluidity and his perfect positioning over the top of the apex of the hurdle. He was always square. He was fluid. It was effortless. That's, to me, what the hurdle race should be like. It shouldn't be a fight with the obstacle at all. He was one. It was almost like it was no big deal. And it was the smoothest and the most perfect positioning over the top of the hurdle, into the hurdle, off the hurdle. I mean, it was just when Alan was in his day, there was none that looked better, that ran better. And so that combination of really understanding the technical aspect of the event and understanding and having control over his complete body while in motion is something that I've always stressed when talking about hurdling, you know, that he made it look effortless. And that's, to me, leads to success as a hurdler. And obviously, Alan was able to do that countless times. Aries, again, we're beating a dead drum, but it it bears repeating. You know, you try to teach all young hurdlers as they're coming up on the cadence in between and shuffling and finding ways to make your feet go fast. And I just think he has this innate ability and this unreal gift to do that. And it's mind-blowing to watch it, because it's one thing to shuffle your feet, but to cover the distance and shuffle your feet is something special. And but again, you got to be in the right position to do that as well, to maximize the falling off the hurdle, to put yourself in position. But and it takes a lot of abdominal strength to do that, the shuffle. You know, one of the things people, I always tell them, hurdling, you got to go to school to learn how to hurdle. I mean, it's your class is in session every day, all day. You know, it's not just getting out there running with a clock. You know, it's, you got to study and not
grind it out.
Yeah, and not just yourself, everybody else. And even when you run your best race, you're still trying to improve, because you know, I always tell everybody there's no such thing as a perfect race, because no one's alive to tell you what that is. You know, it just, it's the fastest time at the moment, right? Because every action is a reaction, and we don't know. The faster you run, the faster you got to react, and that's innate. And then getting out to the youngster who's currently doing his thing, Grant, you know, everybody talks about obviously his first five, you know, how fast he runs and want to do that. But I point to something that's hidden, which is he's a complete athlete. Most of us, I don't know, Aries, if you did a lot of this, but I know Alan Johnson could run 44 on a relay split and run 20-0, you know. And so Grant, I think that is his, outside of being a gifted hurdler, a true competitor, probably one of the most fit and accomplished athletes that's running the hurdles. So Grant can run a great 100, Grant can run a great 200, Grant can run a great 400. And coupled with his love of the hurdles, that's a dangerous combination. I mean, there are not too many guys.
Don't forget, he's a 7-1 high jumper.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, you look across the other.
He's doing the decathlon next.
Yeah, look across the, you know, to his left and his right on the start line, and at least most of us have that attitude. Well, nobody can run this on the flat. Nobody can run this in the 400. You know, so I'm the most fit. I'm gifted. I love this event. I'm going to put it all on the line when we're running. And he shows it. You know, you see the speed, you see the strength, you see all these things that he has that a lot of other hurdlers don't have. And that's, to me, why, you know, it makes him a complete hurdler. And he's, Aries wants to be that world record holder as long as he can. I know he does, but I don't think you'd be too upset if this young man down the road would be the one who ascends to the throne, because wow.
As long as it stays American, we're good.
Yeah. And that's the overwhelming theme. We all want it. Like, listen, you know, as long as it's an American doing it, then we can stick our chest out and say we all played a role in that happening.
I want you guys to hold the thought that you guys are on, because I'm going to come back to this with a hypothetical. But I have to say something, because listening to the four of you talk, so you have athletes and coaches and people say, oh, I study this and I study that and I know all this about my event. And then you ask them questions and they're like, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know what this person did or whatnot. The four of you have literally just wiped out all my notes. Like, everything that I've written down about you guys, you're saying it right now about each other. It's just amazing. I'm like, ah, I was going to say that. Wait, I was going to say that, you know? And I'm just, it's so incredible to say, yes, Alan's PR is 2026. You know, I mean, that's insane, but you guys already know these things. We know Grant is this high jumper. We know Grant's a long jumper. Alan's throwing all these bits out. You guys are literally discussing each other's careers, and that shows that not only that you studied, but you respect each other and that you understand your event, and that is why the four of you are the greatest. Like, you guys are amazing, and it's almost, it's like a privilege to sit here and talk to you, because me as a female hurdler, it's obviously a bit of a different event, but I've admired the 110s, and I'm coaching them now. And so, again, I go to you guys, and I learn from you to teach these young athletes, because there's just nothing greater than this. So I just want to say I'm in awe of what's happening here, without any prep, without any, like, hey, I'm going to ask you this question about this guy. Study up, you know. So I just think it's amazing, and this is why you guys are world record holders, Olympic gold medalists, world champions, because you do your homework. And I think Grant, very impressed by you specifically, because you are in this new era where everybody just thinks that they can do it. Watch a video on YouTube, watch them talk about social media, who's doing this, who's doing that. I'll put it together and I'm gonna win, right? You're doing your homework because you know those who came before you, the pioneers, like Ronaldo, the first man of the 13, you know where it started. And if you don't respect what came before you, how are you going to be great, and how do you expect anybody to respect you and what you've done? So once again, just applaud you guys for being who you are and for respecting your event and respecting this sport.
Yeah, I mean, even to piggyback off what you said, Mama, like literally like this, like even including yourself, yeah, you're one of the great ones to come through as well. But like you guys set the standard for young people like me. You know, when you type in 110 hurdles, whose names are you going to see on the list? You're going to see Aries, you're going to see Allen, and you're going to see Ronaldo. I mean, if you type in 100 hurdles for the females, you're going to see your name, you're going to see Sally Pearson, Kenny Harrison. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But like, for example, you guys have set the standard so high for people coming out of the sport 18 through 21, 22, 23, that in order to, you know, be the best, or in order to, you know, have a podcast like this, or in order to do certain things, You gotta do something unheard of, you know. And for me, I'm always chasing. I'm chasing all these guys still. I mean, Ronaldo with the grit, Allen Johnson with the multiple titles, Aries with the world record. I mean, like, you guys have literally laid down the foundation for, you know, young hurdlers and young athletes coming up, that no matter what they do, rather if it's 13-1, it's still not good enough. While back in, maybe you say in a couple years back, that was the best thing since sliced bread. So, you know, it's always wonderful just to think, you know, me personally saying thank you, you know, for keeping me motivated, for keeping me hungry, because at the end of the day, I watched all you guys, every YouTube video that's out right now, I have seen. And, you know, I my hat goes off to you guys.
We appreciate it.
So here's my hypothetical. We had this whole conversation about what's great about each one and what you would steal. So if you four were one person and we took those great assets that you carry, what time could that hypothetical person run in the 110 hurdles? What do you guys think?
12:55. If we make it realistic, 12:75. Because Aries done blew it out the water. Let's just make it realistic.
I was going to say mid to low sevens.
Yeah, I would definitely say like 74. 75. Yeah, I mean, running sub 80 is really difficult. Like Ronaldo said, like the reactions that you have to have coming into the hurdle, you have to adapt. It's really difficult to, once you're going that fast, not to make an error, because one mistake and you're clipping, literally one mistake. And I was just fortunate enough in that moment to not make any mistakes or make minimal mistake.
There's no margin of error in that kind of race. So, and I've always told people, because they'll say, you know, what do you think someone could run? I said, the first time you run, like when you run 13.0, that's a different feeling than 13.2. And 12.9 is a different feeling than 13.0. So your body's going faster than it's ever gone before. And you don't know until you finish the race if you could do it, because you got to react faster than you've ever reacted. So I can't tell you that you can run that fast, because in the race, your body's got hundreds of seconds to react, and one mistake and there's a 12.7 to a 12.9. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it's that fast.
I'm gonna add this little wrinkle in there, like, so what I said about Ronaldo being a complete game changer, you know, taking it someplace that nobody's even thinking, I think that you add that part in there, then it has to be 12.50 something. I mean, Ronaldo, when you first started, if somebody said, okay, somebody's going to run 12:93 in the hurdles, I mean, what was that like when the world record was 13:24?
Exactly. They didn't think it was possible. It was never possible. And just so you know it, and you can read up on it, I ran 12:86 in the rain at the sports festival. And I ran 12:82 in Jamaica, and they said it was impossible to do, and they said the clock broke. Those are facts.
No.
Look it up.
No.
Look it up.
The clock broke.
1979, right? 1979, Jamaica, and then the sports festival, in the rain, ran 12:86. The clock said it, everything said it, and they didn't announce my time for about 2 hours because everybody kept saying there's no way he can run that fast. And then I ran 12:82 in Jamaica, and the same thing. And they say, no way, the clock, it can't be. So, yeah, I mean, I was doing things at that time, as to Alan's point, 13:24 was the benchmark. Everybody thought that was incredible. And then I ran 13:16 at Bruce Jenner. The next week I ran 13 flat for the world record, right? And then the next year I ran 12:93. But in 79, I ran sub 13 twice. Well, three times, because at 12:91 was win eight at NCAAs. But I ran it three times, two of which they said no way. So during that era, it wasn't fathomable.
I mean, y'all running on like dirt tracks. The tracks are way better now. So like when you think about it, I mean, he probably would have scratched the surface of these of like 12 sevens and stuff, because like, I mean, he was running on dirt.
I mean, so another example. So when I entered college in 1989, I was talking to my coach at the time, and we talked about goals and stuff, and I said I wanted to break the collegiate record, and he looked at me, he goes, well, it's 13 flat. And I was like, what? 13 flat? Who did that in college? Oh, Ronaldo. Oh, okay, it makes sense. But I mean, so that's why I go back and say, if you take that piece, it's got to be at least 12:50 something.
To be a game changer, you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we take the pieces of everybody and take that game changer piece.
You put the best of all of us in there. It's something stupid, truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will be saying the clock malfunction. They would say that.
I mean, the technology is so good now. Training is so much better now. Physio is so much better now. I mean, athletes are able to run on better tracks.
Your hurdles are lighter.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't hit you back like they used to. I mean, I remember hitting a hurdle one time. I almost broke my knee. I was like, dang, that's a mistake. We can't ever do that. That's why I barely hit them now, because I'm afraid. Because you hit them, you're like, well, that's your leg. You know, it's gone.
Well, you see how big Foster is, and they would take him down, the hurdles we ran on. So you had to learn how to get over them. Today, you know, they're a little bit, a lot more forgiving, and you can get more aggressive.
Yeah.
That's the thing I noticed. Hurdlers are far more aggressive, so they don't pay the price sometimes for hitting the hurdles. Mm-hmm. But you, back in my day, you hit those hurdles, you would not finish the race. No way.
Oh, I felt those hurdles before. Those mugs was brutal.
Absolutely.
I mean, Roger was big, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that man was he like 220?
225 on a good day, soaking wet.
Look, he's a big dude, and he can run like, he's ran like 12:90 something.
92.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that man was David Oliver-esque. He was big. David was big boy.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I was saying, you guys bring up a really good point to switch gears, but to continue on, because this is a very delicate race, if you will. I mean, your technique has to be great because you're running into hurdles, but you still have to try to get as much speed as you can without being too fast, right? Because then you run into the hurdle, you fall over, all these things. So it is a very technical race, right? So for you guys, and it doesn't have to be someone on this call, it can be someone on this call, but who do you guys view as the best technician now or then in this event?
I mean, for me, it would have to be between Liu Zhang and Alan. Like, I mean, Liu Zhang is just this man in any weather. I mean, he is like a robot. Have you ever seen this man run? He's just like every single time, and it just didn't matter for him.
He barely would nick a hurdle if he did it at all.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't understand how you could run like that and that fast without.
I didn't either.
Ever really hidden hurdles. I'm like, he was a robot. Like you said, he would look like a robot. I'm like,
I think they built him. I think somebody actually built that guy.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, like, I remember back when I was beginning, and like, we were in New York, and Terrence Trammell had ran his lifetime best. He ran 12:95, and this man was out. I mean, he was way out. And I was in that race, and I was like, man, he's gone. And I'm like, well, you know, we're just about to just try to do what we can do. because I just wasn't at that level. And then Lou was like, oh no, I'm finna run this man down. And Lou ran this man down from the back. He ran 1292 to walk Terrence down, who ran a lifetime best. It was just crazy. I was like, how did he do that? He just willed himself there. And he did it without making a single mistake. He didn't panic. He just kept it going.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, Liu Sheng had really, really good technique. And running against him, watching him, he didn't make mistakes. I mean, he very rarely hit a hurdle. I mean, you go break his race down, it's like, okay, well.
It was the same race no matter how many times he ran it. He looked the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any condition.
Same.
Well, I guess we are unanimous on that. He's just going. I mean, he's gone. He's so smooth.
He is. I mean, gone.
Yeah.
You can't take that away from the man. That's why he did what he did. He was just so good. Like, no matter what the stakes were, too. Like, I've seen this man with one leg at World Championships in Osaka win out of lane 8. He had a hamstring wrap on his leg.
Hamstring wrap.
His hamstring was wrapped, and he was like, I'm just going to win. Like, I'm going to get it done, and he ran 12-9.
Well, you know that
out of lane 8.
You know, murmuring always starts when anyone, whatever event, they run really well, right? So there was always murmuring. But the one thing I always said about Liu Sheng is that whatever they were murmuring about had nothing to do with his hurdle technique, because that was flawless. So yeah. I didn't care whatever, you know, I never even thought about it. Just watching his technique, I just said that was something special. And I knew he's going to be successful just because this dude, like you said, I just thought it was impossible to run that fast all the time and have impeccable technique. I mean, never off balance, never over rotated, nothing. I mean, this dude was just, you could book it. Take a picture of him. And he looked that way over 10 hurdles.
And it was he was very, very difficult to compete against.
Yeah, I was afraid. Like in 2012, not going to lie, like I suffered my only loss to this man in 2012 at Prix.
Right.
He ran 1287.
I was there.
And I ran 1290 something. And like, and I'm just like, they were like, oh, it was windy. I was like, okay, the flags weren't really blowing. But if y'all don't want to get this man a world record, that's fine. Whatever. And I'm just like, this man just ran 1287 at Prix. And I'm just like, how do I beat this man? How? Because, like, I made one mistake. And he was just like, okay, well, you made a mistake. I don't. So I'm beating you every time. So when we got to the games, I was just like, and he had this smirk on his face. I was like, he's ready. I gotta get my mind together, because he'd be having that smile. Like, when he's ready, he plays around. It's like in the warm-up, you can tell when he's going to run well, and he'd end up injuring himself, and that's really unfortunate. But that man was ready in 2012. He was.
What was your all-time record against him, Aries? And then same to you, Alan.
All-time record, like, against this man, like, competing against him? I've only beat this man once, and I beat him
And that was indoors.
I didn't beat him outside when we raced against each other. He beat me. Yeah, so many times.
You know what? I'm not sure what my all-time record was. I know, like, when he first came on the scene, I beat him I pretty much all the time. But once he kind of got on top of his game.
And he figured it out.
Yeah, it was – he probably beat me more most of the time. Like, I'll say it was 60-40 or 55-45, and then – at the end of my career, he beat me all the time. So, but, you know, you take that window of 2004 to 2006, it was probably maybe 55-45 in favor of him.
That's just remarkable, I mean, to think about. Was, you know, was, someone who's non-American and then, like, you know, two people in their prime, yeah. You know, you think about, you know, the greats, literally. You think about the greats and you think about the great matches, the great matchups.
The thing for me, like, watching him was so, you know, you look at all the great hurdlers and they do something really freaky somewhere in the race, like freakishly good. He wasn't freakishly good anywhere.
Right. He was just
– well, I guess his freakishly good trait was that he didn't make a mistake. So you were always sitting there like, okay, I can beat him. But dang, I just lost to him. How did he do that?
Naturally, he wasn't overly, like, I don't think if you looked at his natural gifts, like 100 or 200 or something like that, you wouldn't have been blown away at all. But
he was just a great technician.
Well, you don't have to be that fast to be great in the hurdles if you're doing it the right way. You know, I know sub 10 guys that couldn't run that fast, you know. So it's just a matter of, but, you know, the irony of him is that how many times can you run sub 13 and lose? Right, so Aries talking about running sub 13 and losing to the guy.
Yeah, I mean, right? he's done it numerous amount of times. He's done it at World Champs. He did it in New York. He did it in Prefontaine. I mean, I feel like he's run sub 13 when he needs to, and he'll run sub 13 and beat you, and you've also run sub 13. Like, it's crazy. This man he's insane. And so I was always afraid, like, my entire 2012, I was like, I know I can beat everyone, but I don't know about Lou. I just don't know, because he's unknown, you know. And so there was always that doubt in my head that, hey, if I run against this man, I have to be absolutely perfect, and if I make any mistakes, he's gonna beat me.
Hey, Aries, do you remember 2006 in Stuttgart World Athletic Final?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he broke the world record in Lausanne.
That was the 87, Coach?
Yeah, 88.
Yes. So he went. So after that race, he goes back home to China. We don't see him again until August at the World Athletic.
Yeah, he doesn't even run anymore until that race.
No races. So he shows up, and we're like, oh, yeah. Well,
he's going to be flat. He ain't got nothing.
We got him. He's race rusty. Yep. He has to be. He's race rusty. Man, 12:93 off the plane.
Yep.
And we're all looking around after the race like, what happened? I mean, I kid you not, the other seven of us kind of looked at each other like, what was that? How did he do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm out in lane eight just, I'm scraping my chin on the ground, running as hard as I can. And I swear to you, going over the 10th hurdle, we were even. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to hurdle. Racing to the finish line. I dip. I see 12:93. I'm like, oh, well, shit, I must have run 12:94, 12:95, 13:01. I'm like, how is this man, how are we even? And he beat me by that much from 10 home.
His running is deceptively good, though. It is deceptively good.
He has those his feet were small, right? Those feet would just
go. Small feet.
They were small, right?
Got, like, that man is 6'3", and he has he might be 6'4". Yeah. He has a size 8 shoe.
Oh, you are 9?
Oh, and maybe that's it. Maybe he can fit in between those hurdles so quick and get off and just run. I mean, he just tip. It was so fast.
His shuffle was amazing.
His shuffle was good. It was good, but his technique
Not Aries Merritt good, but
his technique was better.
That technique, yeah. Like you said, Ronaldo, every hurdle the same. How does someone do that? And that's why you guys struggle trying to beat him. You're trying to make all these changes everywhere, and he just like, I do the same thing every time. And he's like, I dare you to try that. Right? And that's that consistency. So speaking of him, you guys, you got the likes of Colin Jackson, all these different people, David Oliver, all these people we're talking about. Who do each of you regard as the greatest 110 hurdler? And if it's yourself, say yourself.
I would say Alan. Yeah, I would definitely say Alan.
Alan Johnson, I can hang up, and everybody knows why.
It's Alan.
Yeah, it's Alan.
That's
the reason why
span.
Is because he's run sub 13 more than anybody. Like, I ran 10 sub 13s in one season, and Alan still has me beat by 3. Like, I haven't been able to run sub 13 since 2012. Obviously, I had a kidney transplant, but so that could have probably put a damper in that dream. Who knows? But Alan's run sub 13 13 times?
11 times.
11, it's 11.
Okay, well, I need to do it 2 more times to even be in that category. It's still hard to do.
So, greatest of all time is Ronaldo. That's the greatest of all time.
Okay, so, and we're not.
Only thing I say in my own defense is that I never got to run in my prime, Joanna. Yeah, so I would have loved to have been, you know, 5 more years or so to see, you know, how many more times I could have done it. But for my little era, right, because there's always eras, you know, but Allen, to me, you know, because as Ari said, you got to look at the guy who breached the barrier as many times as he did. And so he actually, you know, I proved that it could be done, and he showed you that you should be doing it and how to do it.
I mean, I may have run the fastest, but I mean, he's done it way more times.
Well, and I think it makes perfect sense what you're saying, Ronaldo, because Allen is bearing you as the greatest ever, and that's the reason, right? You're saying what he did, but he knew you could have done it. You started this thing for him. And so what you started for him, he just carried on. So you guys set it up for everyone else coming in. So I love that. I love this between the two of you because it just makes sense. And yes, like you said, and everyone knows this. This is not something that we're just talking about with you, Ronaldo, that you could have done all these things. You didn't because, you know, you football and all these other things. So you didn't get to that point, but you were that guy, right? You were that guy. And I think that any hurdler coming up, young men, I don't care how old they are at this point, if they don't look to you and to see what you started, they're making a grave mistake. They're missing out on their history and what the point of this event is. You did that.
Well, like everybody talks about Michael Jordan being the best, I'm like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar revolutionized the game, did something that no one else has ever done. So I can understand what Allen is saying. So you got to give props because this guy was a game changer, you know, that no one has ever replicated again. And so, but you know, Joanna, it's the respect that hurdlers have. And I always say the real students of the event make those kind of, have those insights. And those that don't, like, I give out awards at NCAAs to over the years, and the hurdler doesn't even know who the heck I am, you know? And I just like, it is, you know, it is what it is. They got a 5-year window, and I'm beyond the 5 years.
It's not a 5-year window. Well, a lot of them don't know who Allen is. Listen.
They do. They don't know who Allen is.
They don't know who Allen is either.
Yeah, they look at you like, were you an athlete?
And
I go,
well,
once upon a time I used to do a little bit. And they're like, oh, really?
Were you an athlete?
Yeah,
no.
All the time. So it is what it is, you know. But us hurdlers, the true guys who you have on this panel and others like us, we know our history, and we know each other.
Absolutely. And that's why the greatest are the ones that know the history. Those Bobby used to always tell me, those that know why can beat those that know how. You can get out there and jump over them sticks all you want to, but if you don't know the purpose of it and where it came from and how it evolved from one place to where you are now, you're not going to be able to do the things that the Allen Johnsons and Aries Merritts and Grant Holloway is going to do and Ronaldo Nehemiah. You're not going to be able to do it because you don't understand it. So going from that point, each of you, great in your own respects and your own rights, fantastic people. Somewhere you get some inspiration. Somewhere there's, whether it's another person, whether it's a spiritual thing, what is your greatest source of inspiration to have done what you've done and do what you do?
For me, my greatest source of inspiration is probably my grandma. She passed away in 2008, and I failed to make that team. I just was emotionally unstable, and I missed the team. I didn't get it done, and I just couldn't do the sport. Like, I was going to give up on the sport. When she passed away, it was a really hard time for me, and I remember her saying, you can be so good at what you're doing, you just have to believe in yourself. And like, I just refocused for the next 4 years, and I used that as motivation moving forward. And so I think that's my biggest source of inspiration, is my grandmother. And then moving forward now, my greatest sense is just showing people that it can still be done no matter what you've been through in your life. Obviously, it's no secret that I had a kidney transplant. I've had multiple health issues that I've had to overcome, and not sport injury. I mean, like, life-threatening issues. And like, a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't even be running. Doctor said it. And I'm still running. So, I mean, it's now my goal is to inspire others that, hey, you can still do this. You can still compete at a high level. You can still run fast. It doesn't matter what you've been through.
Yeah, love that. That's on and off the track. That's amazing. What do you got, Grant?
For me, it's I think it just comes from a lot of people just telling me that, you know, you can't do the hurdles. I didn't have the success in high school, and then you think about it, in 2017, I was fourth when I should have made that team because I was out in the front. than going for, you know, it's just a lot of people just saying, I couldn't do it. You can't do it. You're a good indoor runner, but you're not a great outdoor runner. You know, it's just, you know, how it goes hand in hand. So mine is just proving people wrong. That's been me my whole life. On and off the football, on and off the football field, on and off the track. It's just proving those people wrong and, you know, setting that standard, saying like, just because someone said this in the textbook, this is how you hurdle, this is how you do it, this is how it has to be done. My grain is like, okay, it's okay to go against the grain. It's okay to be you. It's okay to redefine history. It's okay to not have your arms tucked when you hurdle. I don't know, like, you know, just going against the textbook and going against what the cookie cutter says and, you know, just proving a lot of people wrong. I mean, for example, nobody told Aries to go, you know, overhead, you know, with his lead arm, but he does it. It works for him. He has the world record. And I mean, if you ask any other, you know, any other hurdle greats, that's not in the textbook. You know, they don't teach that. So it's just always me is just going against the grain and just proving a lot of people wrong. Because in the grand scheme of things, you know, everybody's gonna. Someone is not going to like you for what you do. It's just how it is. It's just how it goes in the world. But as long as you do it for yourself, you do it for your family, and main of all, you do it for God, you have no worries.
I think for me, my family, my mother inspired me. You know, it was always growing up, I was always going outside playing and trying to do things. And just from the message that was always told to me was, you can do anything that you want to do if you want it bad enough. So I've just always taken that attitude. And one thing my mother used to always say to me as I was a little boy, 3 years old, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And it's like, hey, I tried again. So try again. So it's just always that's been my inspiration is, you start out, it doesn't work, keep trying, figure it out. There's a way possible, you just haven't found it yet until you find it. And you'll know when you found it. And that's when you know the deal is done.
Yeah, so everything I do and still do is in honor of my mother. I lost my mother, I was 14 years of age. She was only 37 to breast cancer. And I was very close to my mom, as most sons are. And my mom always told me, don't ever let a man tell you what you can't do. If man can think it, man can do it. And so every time I've run or anything I do to this point is always to honor her as if, you know, if she were watching, because she never got to see her son do the things. So everything, my motivation, my happiness, my contentment was always, you know, there's nothing can stop me but me. And then, my faith in God has always been the guiding light. And my mother always, as far back as I can remember, spoke light and life into me. And you know, always telling me, be the light, be the source, and knows whose you are. Obviously, that's a biblical reference, and who you are in Christ. So, yeah, everything I do, I'm always saying, Mom, you didn't get to see it, but if you were here watching, you know, I'm going to make you proud. And so that was an extension of honoring my mom as best I could by saying, hey, man, you know, a man can think it, man can do it. Well, I'm thinking it and I'm doing it. And, you know, so what you said is true. So it's the impact of mothers, you know, and family.
That's awesome, guys. I wanted to touch, Aries, on your you said something a little bit about it earlier, and then you going to this world record, because one thing that I've always learned as an athlete and what I teach as a coach is that, you know, you have to be consistent, right? Before you get to where you're trying to go, before you'll usually you'll be consistent and then you'll hit a drop, right? So that 2012, you mentioned that 1287 windy, right? And then you're 12.9 at the trials, 12.9 the next meet, 12.9, all these 12.9s, 93, 93, 93, 92, 95, 97 at, in September. Then 5 days after you ran 12.97, you dropped the bomb, 12.80. What was the difference? What was it that put that world record, that put it out there so far? Not like, you know, a few tenths. I mean, that a few hundreds. You dropped that thing so far.
I think it was like multiple things. Like, I remember running 12.93 at Olympic trials in the rain. and Allen's one of Allen's former coaches, Coach Fry, he came up to me and he goes, "You gonna run 12.7? I ain't never seen that before." I said, "What?" I was like, "Oh yeah, right. I just ran 12.93. I'm not trying to hear no 12.7." He said, "I've never seen anything like that before." I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I just tried to make the team because I was just so over the moon to make it, you know, because I worked so hard and I got there." But like after that, like it was just like I had reached a level of consistency that was just like every time I would step on the track, it was 12.93. Every single time. It was almost frustrating to a point because I kept running the same time. I would get out really great, I'd make a mistake in the middle, 12.93. I get out really poorly, I run a great second half, 12.93. I thought I put it all together, 12.93. I'm just like, okay, what am I doing wrong? How can I improve 12.93? I can't get there. And then we get to the games and I run 12.90, I ran 13.0 in the prelim. I think 12.94, and I walk across the line 12.94, and I'm like, oh, I'm about to run 12.8 something in the finals. And then I ran tight, and I just was trying to get there because it was the Olympic final, and, you know, I wasn't as relaxed as I was. And I ran a PB. I ran 12.92 into a headwind. I'm like, man, if I can just relax a little bit more, I can get it. And at that point, it became me chasing a world record because the Olympic champion was complete. And so every time I would go to a meet, it was me trying to run faster than 12.90 every single time, and I would fail every single time. It was 12.95, 12.94, 12.97. I just couldn't do it. I had perfect conditions in Berlin, 12.97, 1.4. I was like, well, that's the slowest of the series. We not running fast in Brussels. We can hang it up. You know, we're going home. Yeah, so don't chase it anymore. And as soon as I stopped chasing it, it just happened. And we had been running. We have been running like 12.7 pace at practice, 12.8 pace in between hurdles, like growing over 12 hurdles, running 12.7 for 12 hurdles. Like I can maintain it for so long. And I'm like, how come I can't do this in the race? What is wrong? And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just not going to think about it anymore. I'm just going to go out there and just have fun. It's my last race. And all of a sudden it was 12.81 and then 12.80 round down. So I was like, man, like, what the heck is that? And that's how that was. Yeah, I just stopped chasing it at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's a good message. Stop chasing, just compete and run. Grant, same thing for you, but indoor this year. You went out and you were hitting these times back to back. I remember talking to your coach, and he's like, that wasn't good. He got this. All these things that were wrong, right? he was killing you, Grant. He was killing you.
But what you do. What,
and everyone was like, this is amazing. He's like, yeah. So what was it that put you over the edge, just take you to that world record time? Because I know you'd been getting so close to it every time, but you finally hit it this year.
For the first race, it was Coach Holloway, he challenged me. He was like, all right, I don't want nothing other than 7.74. So I was like, okay. So then I went out there, 7.35 first race. I was like, okay. And this is after pandemic and everything. Inconsistent training, and all in 2020. It just 2020 didn't even happen. So we're in 2021. So he's like, I challenge you to run 7.3. So 7.38, 7.35. Then I get to Leah Van, 7.41. Yeah, 7.40, 7.41, and 7.32. Go to Val de Rule, 7.48, 7.41. And then 7.42, 7.38. And then I get to Madrid, and I think it was like Aries. You're at the last race. You already won. You know, you already did everything that you had to do. It was just go out there, have fun, enjoy where you're at. You know, you're able to travel the world by using your legs. You know, that's a blessing in disguise right there. So I went out there, I tied my PR at 7.32, and then the finals, he was like, look, I don't want you to change a thing. Just turn up a little bit, have a little pride, you know, put wear that Holloway, that bib number on your chest, wear it with some pride. And I went out there, it said 7.32. So I was like, okay. Next thing you know, we're waiting like 3, 4, 5 minutes. Longest 3, 4, 5 minutes of my life, and they rounded down to 7.29. So, I mean, it's like Ari said, when it's in the back of your mind and you're like, okay, if I fix this, this, and this, I'm able to run, you know, 12.8. I'm able to run 7.3. When you just go out there and you just execute to the best of your ability, the sky's the limit. I mean, it's the same thing. When I think we were at regionals and Ronaldo was there, and he told me, he was like, the only reason why you're not you know, you're not going to 13-0 again is because you're thinking about it. You know, you had already, you felt the speed, and now you feel like if you just get out a little bit harder or you do this or that, you're able to. And he said, look, just put the blocks down and just run and see what happens. And then we get to Texas. It was it was real nice win, like Aries said. It was like 1.4, 1.5. And I remember seeing Allen in the stands when I'm walking down because they had flipped us. And Allen's just like this with his hat on, arms crossed. He's just, sounds we make like eye contact, and he's like, you know what you got to do. And we line him up. And I kind of knew I knew that was my last race, so I'm giving all the fans high fives. Of course, this is before COVID. And gun goes off, and I run. And I haven't felt that 1298 since this past weekend in Miramar. I was just running. You know, there was no care in the world. And 1298 popped up on the board, and you know, I was 21 years old at the time, and I'm 23 now, so I feel like the sky's the limit. If I just stay focused, continue to watch film, continue to watch the greats, I think we can do something unheard of for the United States.
Took my record in the process.
Listen, y'all, you know, you guys give this old man something. Y'all taking all his stuff.
We gotta leave him with something at the end of the day.
Hey, so Grant, so as soon as you went across the line and the time popped up, I had to send Ronaldo a message.
That's how I found out.
I was looking for him. I didn't know where he was. They said he was up there in the Nike tent at the top of the 200 or something like
up
that.
There, no, actually, up there sweating.
Actually, ESPN or whoever was covering it had me wired for an interview to talk to me after your race. I wasn't there. And so
really?
No. So they had me, you know, to talk to me to get my reaction. And so luckily I was glad that I was prepared because I don't know what I would have said initially. So when Alan texted me, I had a chance to be pissed off for about 5 minutes. No, I'm just teasing. I had a chance just to say, daggone. He actually did it. Okay.
You called me. I can't lie. We're all grown. I was a couple in when you called me. So you had called me and I'm over here having fun. I'm pulling them back. He was like, man, congratulations. That's why I was like, when you said this is Ronaldo, I was like, it's who?
Yeah.
How'd you get my number?
Point, exactly. Exactly.
No, but it should have been broken a while ago, so I was happy because, you know, when you say 40 years, you're like, really? 40 years or whatever it was. 40.
You just want them to stop saying a 40-year-old record held by Ronaldo.
It's like, wow.
It's still going. So, you know what's funny? So, with hurdlers, you know, I'm a little biased. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I always tell people, if you know, you have to be able to do two things at once, right? You can't just run fast. You can't just jump over something. But you guys hurdlers are athletes. You guys are all athletes and obviously proven by, you know, football, Ronaldo and Grant as well. But you guys have a lot of PRs on here, like, that are not in the 110s. So I'm going to throw a couple out there. I don't have – Aries, have you run the 100?
I've never run 100. I really wish I would have.
See, I don't have one for you.
I would have. Okay, I wish I would have run 100, but I did not. My coach was
Well, then in this question, you get last.
Okay.
You're last. Okay. In this race, you're last in this 100. Who wins it, though? Three of you guys. Who wins the 100?
I'll say this before you guys even get going. I haven't ran 100 since my – sophomore year, junior year in high school, and I think
that's why it's so slow.
Yeah. She's petty.
So you get second to last. So Ronaldo and Allen, who wins?
What do they have down there? 10:18 for me?
10:24. 10:24. You get beat, Allen, but yes, 10:24. But wait a minute, I gotta say this. You know what I found is so crazy, Allen. How is it possible that you run in a 7.1 head tailwind? How's that possible? Where were you?
I was in Knoxville, Tennessee.
You were in 10:10.
The wind was blowing so hard it was blowing the clothes down the track.
That's hilarious. So
look,
we know
that was the day Alex said, "Let me just go ahead and go cheek to cheek real fast."
I will say this. I know that in 2012, like in my training, like we were running 250s. We would come through 200 in 2010, and we would do 25 for 250. Wallace Spearman has seen me run, you know, these 250s, so he could attest because he was there at the time. I don't know, like, I think that I probably would have been able to run somewhat around 10 flat. If I would have ran the 100 a lot, I probably would have run sub 10. back in that time. I was really fast. John Smith will tell you I'm fast.
We believe you, Aries. We believe you. 200. You guys know who has the fastest PR? He's look at him. He sat back. He was like, I'm gonna let them. Yeah, he does.
I mean, no one's run like Alan is the only person out of all of us that has actually run those events like that.
What was the PR, Mom?
2026.
Yeah, I only ran it once in our ACC championships. They let me run it. I ran 32. I won it 2032, but I've never run it more.
That's not bad. Yeah. But just running it.
2066 over here.
We got, yep, 20. That's not bad. You broke, and you're under 21. You're under 21.
No, but you, wait, hold on. But you ran 2066 indoors, right?
That's indoor. Yeah, so that's.
No, I mean, that could have been outdoors. That would have been way faster.
Outdoor, you dropped that off. Yeah. Still not beating Allen, but it's faster. All right, look, long jump. These two guys, I know. I don't have anybody. I know these. I'm pointing like anybody can see me pointing. Grant and Allen, do you think you beat them?
I want to say yes. 834 is pretty big.
Yeah, he was a seven. He was 814. So not bad though.
Yeah, broke eight meters. Welcome to the 8 meter club.
But let's talk about this high jump, Grant.
I'm out.
Everybody's out, right?
I think
in high school
7'1",
I might 6'4" or something. In high school, who knows?
216, right? 216 for you.
I don't know meters, but yes,
yeah.
That's
yeah. Like, I mean, just this all around. These all-around athletes that you guys are—it's just amazing.
What about the pole vault? I jumped 13.6 in high school.
You did the pole vault?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hey, we did all kinds of stuff. Aries,
did they need points? They were like, "We need some points. Go do the pole vault, Ronaldo."
I love the pole vault. But
wait, Alan, have you done pole vault, Alan?
It's cool.
No.
Once that pole started bending, that's when they were. I was done.
When it started trending, so you started doing.
You gotta protect the head. Protect the head. So, okay, you guys, so on with that, with all these different events that you guys have done, we all know what you were the best at, but you guys could have done other things, right, in this sport. You guys could have actually competed in other events and I think won medals. So what about other people in doing all these other events? Let's take the 110s out. What's something that you guys view as the greatest or one of the greatest ever performances that you've seen in track and field, man or woman, in athletics?
You go ahead, Grant. Who?
She's on this call right now.
Okay.
Look at the smirk.
That's just because you love me.
Well, there's two, but the first one that comes to mind is Lane 8, 2016, men's final, 400 meters.
Well, 400 meters is nasty.
Yeah,
and this brother ran 43:03 by himself. And that was ridiculous.
And I will add to that. I would say in 2012, Radisha's 140.
Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
The heck was that? Like, this man came through in 49.2 and then ran 49.
It kept
again.
Running.
What the heck is that? Yeah, like, that. It was insane. That was insane. I mean, I've seen Bolt run 9.5. Sure, that's phenomenal.
2008, Bolt, the way he did it.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
And then he ran 19.1, which is also really good. And I was there. I was there, and I was in disbelief.
His eighth race at that.
Yeah, I was in disbelief because he had run so many times, and you know, Tyson had run 9.71, and that man was shot. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't walk anymore. I was like, oh well, he's not running a 200. Well, I can see why, because he literally couldn't leave the. We were in the training room in Berlin, and he because he was limping. He was all over the place. Like, man, that run took it out of him. And then Bolt goes out there and just jogs 20-80, 20-50. He just lets – people just was letting him win. They're like, oh, well, we can't beat this man. He runs 9.5. We clearly don't got it. And so that he was out there. He could damn run 21 seconds, and they would have let him win.
Because they figured he's supposed to be in front of them, and they didn't realize.
They gave him too much respect.
Yeah. Then he just went out there and poof.
Some of the most impressive events that I've actually seen, like I was present for – I'd have to say 1999 in Seville, Spain, Michael Johnson, when he ran 43.18.
Yeah, Michael Johnson.
What he did.
I was managing him, and his coach told him to break the record in the semifinals so that he could, you know, not have the pressure in the finals. And, Alan, remember that semifinal race he ran where he was so far out
in
front?
Yes, that
he almost walked to the finish line?
That might have been more impressive.
Yeah.
What was his time?
43.95.
43.9.
95.
It was crazy.
Walking across the line.
It was.
The whole stands just looked like, what the heck was that? I mean, it was like.
He shut down the whole last 100 meters, was just total shutdown, looking around, slowing down, and then just kind of walked across the line. So it was like, I'm going to be here tomorrow when he breaks the world record. And it was just so awesome.
So what you're saying is he would have run 42.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If he would have ran through the line, he would have run 42.
And then 1994, watching Sergei Book could break the world record. I think it was he jumped 6:14 there. So just looking up and seeing how high that was, being right there.
I was there when Sotomayor jumped 2:45, 8 feet.
The 8 feet?
Yeah, in Spain.
World record.
Yeah, I was there that day, and I was like, oh my, and now when you go to the Olympic Museum in Lausanne and you walk under that bar, you're just going, are you serious? Really?
That bar is really high. That's a really high bar. Like, dang. Put it in perspective, we haven't seen anyone anywhere near close to that.
No, but he was a technician over in the high jump too. I mean, he was flawless too.
So Grant, we've noticed in a recent tweet that you would love to be selected to run with Team USA on a relay. Tell us about that and tell us how much you would enjoy being able to do something like that.
It goes back to if they need me, I want to be willing and able. I think everybody knows when I first get there, my main goal is to get an Olympic gold medal, and the relays are afterwards. So I don't want to be tugged and pulled in so many different directions, but if people are hurt and people, you know, and people aren't able to run the relay, and I'm the next man up, then I'm the next man up. It's just like in anything. If someone gets hurt, Ronaldo knows, if someone gets hurt on the football field, next man up. You know, you gotta be able to do the same job, and you know, you gotta be willing, you know, to put the body on the line to win. I think Coach Holloway is the Olympic coach, so he knows that, and I'm making sure that I'm gonna be well fit for whenever that time comes. But if they choose me, they choose me. If they don't, they don't. My main goal at the end of the day is contend for a gold medal.
Well, and Alan, if you have any advice for Grant in these relays, because I know that, you know, you've run the 4x4 for Team USA, and I don't know that I would want to be in your shoes doing that, but it looked like you had a good run there.
You know, running 4x4s, I did that in college, and even after college. In the early meets, I would run some 4x4s. And when the time came at Worlds, I just thought it would be cool. Because, you know, the U.S. has always dominated the 4x4. And I was like, man, I get to go out there on the track and run the 4x4 like I've seen on TV. So I was just geeked about it.
Why'd they put you on first leg, though?
No, I anchored. I anchored it because...
Yeah, he was anchored.
I could have sworn they said you ran first.
Yeah, it was anchored. So everybody put me out in the lead. So I didn't.
Oh, so you was running scared.
I would have looked back. I don't care what anybody said. I would have looked back that day.
No, I couldn't look back. I had to make sure I stayed looking forward.
What was the time that you guys ran? Did y'all run like 2:50 something?
Yeah, it was like 2:59 mid or something. So
yeah, I mean, in those days, running sub 3, yeah. No one was beating you.
Yeah. So I got a chance to run on a 2:59 relay. That was cool. And then they took me off for the final. They put I think it was Tyree Washington. They put him on the relay, took me off.
A 400 meter specialist.
Yeah.
Huh?
So I ran so he could rest.
Yeah. Right.
Well, guys, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your information, your wisdom, your thoughts, and all those wonderful memories with us. Grant and Aries, good luck. Best wishes. I hope you both have an amazing season. We're all rooting for you. And of course, Alan and Ronaldo, thank you so much for guiding the next generation of young men in your event and really just in our sport overall. Thank you all for being such amazing people, incredible guests, and I'm just honored to host you. And I wish you all the best once again for World Athletics. I'm Joanna Hayes. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. It was fun.
Thanks. We appreciate it.